Begin the current daf. Masechtas Menachos daf Ayin Zayin. Begin on the bottom of Ayin Vav and Beis. Second line up in the bottom of the Amud. But the Gemara begins the eighth parak Masechtas Menachos, parak HaToida HaYisavo, or called parak HaToida, which continues in the theme of the previous parak, discussing the measurements of different Menachos, and specifically, like we had mentioned, also the Lachmei Toida, the breads of the carbon Toida. Now, the entire Mishnah will be explained in the Brayis in the Gemara. It says the Mishnah HaToida HaYisavo, the Toida was brought Chamesh Soin Yerushalmius. A saw is a certain measurement. Five of those soin, specifically the Jerusalem measurement, which as the Mishnah is going to explain, there was a change of the amount that was in that measurement in the time period in history. So five of the Jerusalem soin, that amount of flour was used for the carbon taida, which Shehen Shesh Midbarius, which that was actually in the desert, in the Midbar, in the times of Moshe Benu, that actually would have been six saw, not five saw, because they actually increased the measurements by a sixth, so which was six saw in the Midbar, was only five saw in the times of when they had done it later on called the Jerusalem saw, which this six saw is Shtei Eifes. Why is that two Eifes? Eifa is also a measurement. Because an Eifa is shalish sa'in. An Eifa is three sa'in. So therefore, these six sa'in are two Eifas, which they are Esra Misarin. That comes out to 20 Isarin. That's the measurement we always use. A regular mincha has one Isarin, one-tenth of an Eifa, because in every Eifa there's 10 Isarinus. So it comes out that there was 20 Isarinus for the breads that were brought in the carbon taida. And how does that break down? Asara, there were 10 Isroinus for the 10 loaves that were lechametz. There were 10 loaves of chametz. And the Vesara lematzah, 10 Isroinin for the different matzah loaves that there were. Because as the Mishnah continues in the top of Ein Zayin Manav, there actually were four types of chalas that were brought in the Lachmei Taida. There were Asara lechametz, which was the 10 that were for the chametz ones, comes out, if there was 10 nisarin for the chametz, and there were only 10 loaves of chametz, you had a nisarin l'chala. You had a nisarin for every loaf. Every loaf had a nisarin of flour. In contrast, so you had the other half, vasar l'matzah. You had the other 10 nisarinus for the matzah loaves. Now, but a matzah, sholash minas, says the Mishnah, in the matzah, there wasn't just 10 loaves in one type like there was of the chametz. There were actually three types that each type was supposed to have 10 loaves. So you had chalas, you had the matzah loaves, rikikin, you had the matzah wafers, and the revucha, which the Braisa explains in Teres Kainim, that revucha is scalded in hot water, that's called revucha. Nimtzu comes out, shleisha esroinim b'shlish, that you had actually only, you had three esroinim and a third, l'chol min v'min, for every single type of, that there was in the matzah, all those 10 had only, not like the chametz which had 10 Esrainim for those 10 types. Here, each one of the three types of matzah, which there was 10 of each type only had, for all of them, all those 10, three Esrainim and a third, not 10 Esrainim like the chametz, which comes out, v'shalish chalas li'sarin, that only three loaves together were comprised of one Esrainim of flour, which would then come out that the 10 loaves of each type, as we said, had three Esrainim and a third. Now, continues the Mishnah, now, however, if we're measuring based on the Jerusalem measurements, which they didn't utilize Esroinus as we always talk about it in the biblical version, rather they used the measurements of Kavan, so it comes out, Vishalish Chalis Li'isarn. So it comes out, Hoyu, that there was these five Soin, as we mentioned, because the six biblical Soin were the same as the Jerusalem, five of their Soin. So it comes out, those five saw. Since they didn't use the strainness to tell us how much each loaf was, which category of how much the loaves were, rather, since it held the space of five saw, it was actually shleishim kav, it was 30 kav, because there is six kav for a saw, which is known in the mnemonic Askel of Gudu, that there's six kav in a saw. So it comes out, we're talking about a total of 30 kav, if we're going with the Jerusalem measurements. Now, if we break it down, it comes like, Chamisha asa l'chametz. So as we said, half is for the chametz, half is for the matzah. Although chametz only has 10, and the matzah has 30 because it has three types of matzah. But that's the way we split up. Chamisha asa l'chametz. So you had 15 kavim for the chametz loaves, for chamisha asa l'matzah, and 15 for the matzah loaves. Which that comes out chamisha asa l'chametz. So that, as we said, you have 15 kavim for the chametz loaves. Comes a kavim achatz l'chala. Every loaf had a kav and a half of flour. But chamisha asla matzah, we said it was 15 kavin for the matzah. Now, uba matzah shalash mina, as we said, the matzah had three different types, and each type had 10. You had chalas, verkikin, vervuch. You had lobes, wafers, and the scalded one, which is burnt. That's how the in hot water. That's how that those loaves were made. So Nimzu comes out chameishes kavin l'chol min amin, that every single type of those 10 of each one of the matzah had only a total of 5 kavin, which v'shtei chalas l'kav, and therefore only in combination of 2 loaves did you have a measurement of a kav. Whereby the chametz one, each loaf had a kav and a half. Here, a combination of 2 loaves, you had a kav, meaning because each loaf was actually only half of a kav by the matzah type. Now the Gemara continues and explains the halacha of the Mishnah. It says, "Hatoyda ha'isa bo chomish son Yerushalmi." So the Mishnah opened up and said that the toyda came from 5 Jerusalem son, which, as we said, was 6 midbarius, and that was because it was amount of 2 eifah. And that's how we get to the measurement, because the eifah is 3 sin, as the Gemara will explain later on, how we know that you have to have 2 eifah by the lach meitaida. But one thing the Gemara asks, mana namili, how do we know that an eifah is 3 sin? That you know that you have to have 2 eifah? Oh, so if an eifah is, each one is 3 sin, that's how you know you get a total of 6 sin midbarius, which is going to come out, because they later on extended the measurements, to be 5 sin Yerushalmius. How do we know that an eifah is 3 sin? So Amrav Chizki says, "Kedamakra." The pasuk says, "Nicheskel ha'efa va'bas." These 2 different measurements, the efa and the bas, teichen echad year should have the same measurement. So we learn, "Ma bas," just like this measurement called the bas, shalish sa'in was 3 sa, saf efa shalish sa'in, so to the efa was 3 sa. On that is the more, but a bas kufim enal. How do you know this measurement, which was called bas, that it was 3 sa? Ilema b'nichsev. If you're going to say, because it says over there in that pasuk, "Nicheskel losays to take maser ha'chaymer ha'bas," the maser, the taif, the 10th of the chaymer is going to be the eifa, which is that the is going to be the bas, because the bas we're saying is a 10th of the chaymer. Now we're assuming the chaymer is 30 sa, so it comes that the bas, which is a 10th of the chaymer, is 3 sa because it's a 10th of 30. If that's the source for this halacham, but then the eifa nami yoksev. But the eifa also says there in the pasuk, it says vasiris chaymer eifa, the 10th of the chaymer is the eifa. So why are you comparing the eifa to the bas to tell you just like bas is 3 sa, so to eifa? Ella, rather, obviously from that pasuk, why are you not learning out directly that eifa is going to be that you're learning out comparing it to bas? Why don't you learn over there directly that eifa is a 3 sa? Because obviously chaymer itself, lo yadan the kamo, you don't know how much it is to know that how much the eifa is by saying it's a 10th of that chaymer. So then you're back to the question. So hachanami over here by the bas too, you can't learn out from this pasuk because chaymer, lo yadan the kamo, you don't know how much it is. So how can you say that the eif is like the bas and the bas is a 10th of the chaymer and therefore we know it's 3 sa, but you don't know how much the chaymer is? So Ella rather says the Gemara Mahacha. No, we know from a pasuk later on that says v'chayk hashemen, and the statute of the oil regarding the laws of Meiser is habas hashemen. I mean, the measurement of the oil is going to be Meiser, the tithe, the 10th, is going to be habas. That was the 10th min hakor, from the kor. How so? Says the pasuk. Aser sabatim chaymer, because 10 of batim is a chaymer. A tenth of the chaymer is the batim. Why? Ki aseres habatim, and this seems to be in the wording as redundant, but ki aseres habatim, because the 10 of basim, of these measurements basim, will be for you a chaymer. So, therefore, you could take from it 1 bas, because the chaymer is 10 batim, and a taif has to be 1/10. Now, a kur is saying that it's 10 batim. Now, kur was obvious to the Babylonian Talmid Chacham, to the Talmud Bavli, that was 30 sun, because that's what they measured their grain was with sun and with kur. So therefore, from the pasuk itself, it's clearly that the bas is a tenth of a kur, which is the same measurement the pasuk saying as a chaymer. So we know that it's 30 sa. So if it's saying that it's a tenth, we know it's 3 sa, and the pasuk is equating the eifa to the bas, and that's how we know the eifa is 3 sa, and that's how we get to the measurement, as we'll see, because you need to have 2 eifa by the lach meitaida. That's how we know it's shisha midbarius, which comes out to be chamish yerushalmius. Now, continuing this halacha of our Mishnah, which will relate back directly to our Mishnah, Amar Shmuel says the following halacha. It says, "Ein meisifin ala midos yisim mishtos." You can't increase measurements, which measurement generally holds a certain amount. It has a name, a title. You can't extend the measurement to hold more content, more than a sixth. So although you're going to keep it that same number, that's going to have the same name, whatever the measurement name is, you can't extend it to hold more than a sixth of what it originally had held. Moreover, so too, that coin, call it a quarter, call it a dollar, whatever, you can't have it now that it's going to have more than a sixth of what it normally did. So if it had 100 pennies of betel, now you can't add it that it should hold. It, you can increase the value of the dollar to have more pennies to it, but it can't be more than a sixth of the original amount. A third halacha, v'amistakar lo yistakar yis mishtos, whoever's making money, whoever's getting profit, his profit margin cannot be more than a sixth. Now, the Gemara will ultimately explain that halacha of the measurements and of the coin, that you can't increase them more than a sixth, is ultimately going to be learned out from a pasuk. But at this point, the Gemara assumed that Shmuel was saying a logical idea. So therefore, the Gemara asks, so my time, what's the reason? And we're going in the first one first. His first halacha was regarding the measurements. Why is it that measurements cannot be increased more than a sixth? If it's because the inflation of increasing the market value, because what happens is going to be if they're going to increase the measurements, so obviously the price for that measurement is going to be going up because it's holding more content, more flour, whatever it is, and more wine, whatever is inside of that, because of the more measurement that's going into that original measurement. Now, the problem that ends up that causing is because now that the price has started going up, wait a second, I used to buy a pound of this and now it's going up in price here because there's more in that pound, so the price is going to go up. But that's actually going to cause it to go up exponentially because people that don't know about markets and about values and about inflation, they're going to think, wait a second, why price is going up? Must be a famine is coming. So that's going to cause prices to go up because supply is the same and demand is going up, and it's going to cause a price increase, which we don't want. If that's the reason why now that increase measurements by a sixth, so then then even a sixth you shouldn't be allowed to add, because whatever the ratio is going to cause an increase. So why more than a sixth you can't, and a sixth you could. No, the reason why now that increase it more than a sixth is because of a different halachic concern. That of ayna, which is called price fraud, which is when someone overcharges someone more than a sixth. Now, the problem of more than a sixth is specifically we don't want to cause a situation where it's going to cause the sale to be voided. What comes out according to this interpretation, what Shmuel was saying, is that the sellers, the donkey drivers, they don't know yet that the measurements had been increased. So they're going to be selling according to the original value, because they don't know that they're selling more. When the person's coming with that measurement, he doesn't realize they increased it now. So he's going to sell according to the original price, which obviously had less content. Now, when he finds out that he was frauded, now, it comes out like this. If the increase was more than a sixth, it's going to come out that he was frauded more than a sixth of the price. That causes the sale to be voided. Now, the thing is, but if let's say the increase was only by a sixth and not more, then the halacha of ayna actually changes. Then the sale is valid. Just that, the buyer has to give back to the seller the value of how much he was frauded. As the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Metzia, more than a sixth, the fraud requires the sale to be voided. A sixth, the sale is valid, you just have to give back the ayna. So we wouldn't want to create a situation where if the seller doesn't know that's going to cause the sale to be voided, we don't want the markets that sales should be voided. So we allow the measurements to increase by a sixth. So even if it's ayna, the sale will be valid, it's just going to, he's going to get back his money. But more than a sixth, it's going to void the sales that we don't want to create. Now that is the Gemara, but if that would be the reason, Bama Rava said, called Davar Shebemida, which is what we're talking about, anything that's measured, v'shebemishkol that's weighed, or v'shebeminyan that's counted by number, then even if it's less than the measurement of the regular fraud, which is a sixth of the value, it's still going to go undone and the sale is going to be void, because since the person particular, because he's counting each one or weighing it, so he doesn't forgive even less than the sixth. So why would you say based on a sixth if actually the ayna would even be less than that and the sale would be voided even less? So it can't be that's the reason why you can't increase the measurements more than a sixth. So Elirab, the Gemara says a third approach, Mishum Tigra. Rather, the reason for this is a concern for the, we call them the Chamorim, those who drive the donkeys, who they're the ones who buy the produce in the villages, where it's where the produce is grown, and they sell in the cities. Now, the reason is, the Girsa is that it shouldn't come to him Ziyana. We don't want him to have a loss. What does that mean, we don't want him to have a loss? Because when he's by the villages, so they sell it to him as the original measurements were, which the measurement was, whatever that content was, a midah was 5 slum. Now, when he comes to sell in the city, so he wants to make a profit. So he's going to sell it. He bought for 5 slum. He's going to sell for 6 slum. As the other halacha Shmuel said, that you're not going to make a profit margin more than the sixth. Now, that's what Shmuel is saying, that the donkey driver, he might not recognize that they had increased the measurements. So he's going to sell to the measurements that's in the large cities according to how much he bought the smaller measurement by the villages. Now, if the measurement is going to be increased more than a six, it's going to come out that he thinks he's selling and making money. He's actually going to be losing because his profit margin is just a six, and he's actually selling for a measurement that's even more than a sixth than what he bought for, and he's actually going to be losing money. So therefore, we didn't allow it to be more than a six because he's actually going to be losing. So that is the Gemara, and the Girsa here also is, so you're concerned for the seller that he shouldn't have a loss. But he doesn't have to go out and make money? What do you mean? When you're going to increase, okay, not more than a sixth, but a sixth in the measurement, so he's not going to lose, but he's not going to make money either. So what? Zivan v'zabein, he should buy and sell, and Tigri Ikrin is called a merchant? What do you mean? Is that why he's doing business, so that I'm a merchant, but not to make any money? He has to make money too. So forget about that, he's not losing, but he's not making money either. So that can't be the reason why it can't be more than a sixth, but at a sixth, you could extend the measurements. So Elam Rav Chizda, as we had mentioned before, it's not based on a svara. Shmuel found a pasuk and expounded it, and from here is where you see that the measurements or the coins could only be extended up until a six and not more. Because the pasuk says over there in that area in Yecheskel, it says, Hashekel, the shekel, which is a type of a coin, in that of used in Hektish, is Esrim Gera, which is, says the pasuk, Esrim Shkalim, 20 Shkalim, Chamisha Esrim Shkalim, 25 Shkalim, Asarav Chamisha Shekel, 15 Shkalim. That's what Hamana Yilachem, that's what this mana, which is the weight of the shekel in the Beis HaMikdash, should be for you. Now the problem with this is, mana is generally the terminology of 100 dinar. Masin Varban Hava? What, it's 240 dinarim? What do you mean? Why is it 240? We just counted the pasuk. If you total and you make a tally of the 25 and the 20 and the 50, it comes out to 60 slum in the pasuk. Now a sela is 4 zuzim, 4 dinar. So it comes out that you're telling me that it's 240. Now, this pasuk is by the month of Hektish and Yecheskel. So why is it saying 240? It's supposed to be 100. Rather, says Shmuel, you learn out three halachas from this pasuk. First of all, you learn out from here that mana shel kodesh kafal haya. The mana of Hektish was actually double of the regular one. So yeah, instead of being as it's supposed to be 100, which is 25 shekel, which is 100 dinar, because a shekel has 4 zuzim, it actually was 200. It's double Hektish. It's a double. Vishmamina, second thing you learn from this pasuk is, and therefore that's why you had the 200, but that still doesn't say why it was 240. But Vishmamina, what we learn from this is, Meisifin ala midus, that you could add on to the measurements, but Ve'im Meisifin yesim ishtus, but you cannot increase it more than a sixth. So this extra 40 that we're adding on to the 200, that we said it's instead of 100 is 200 because you double it by hektish, what's the 240? That's an additional sixth, because 40 is a sixth of 200. What does that mean? 40 is the sixth of 200, or it's a fifth? Oh, because that Shmamina, that teaches a third halacha, that Shtusa Milabar, that the sixth we evaluate externally. Meaning, the 5 times 40, which is 200, we actually add on another 40, which is the sixth one, on the outside. In other words, we don't say, okay, wait a second, you have 200 that it's supposed to be. You want to add on the sixth. So split up the 200 into 6 parts. So each part is going to be 33 zuz and a third. And from that, you add on another 6 to the mana, which would actually be an internal sixth. We don't say that. We say you have an external sixth, which is adding on another 40, not another 33 and a third. Now, so therefore, from this pasuk we learn out measurements and currency, which were two halachas that Shmuel had said, because we're talking about the mana, which is a mishkal, which is a measurement, a weight, and it's talking about the sela, which is the matbeya, which is the coins that are the 240, and therefore we learn out both those halachas that they could only be extended up until a sixth. Now, Amar Avina, he says, Masnit Namedeki, says, our Mishnah also seems to indicate precisely that this concept that we're saying, and that's why we introduced this halacha, that Ashtusa, the six that we add on, is Milabar, is on the outside, externally. Because the Ketani, our Mishnah taught that the Taida, the Lachme Taida, so, Haisava Chamish Son Yerushalmias. Ultimately, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they brought them from the Jerusalem 5 sa of flour. Shehain Sheish Midbarius, which the Mishnah said that was originally 6 sun in the desert sun. So Shmamina, obviously from there you learn out that 6th that's added on to the measurement, which was added on to the 5th, was an external 6th because the Yerushalmius was 6/5 of the Midbarius. If you had 5 Yerushalmius is equivalent to the 6th in the Midbar, comes out that you increased the sun, that you only needed 5 of them, by a 6th externally because it's 6/5, And therefore, you could infer from our Mishnah that that concept, the third halacha we learned from the Pasuk in Yecheskel, that the shtusa that's added on, which the extent that you could add on, is milavar, which is bigger than milagav, which if you would only be able to add on internally. Now, it continues on with Beis, where the Mishnah continues with this halacha of our parak of the carbon taida, of its breads, mikulam, from all the lachmei taida, hayonaitel, the coin would take echad masar trum. As we said, there was four types, each type had 10. From each category, from each type, he would take 1/10 for truma, which was given to the kohen. So like it says, the pasuk in Vayikra, so he took one loaf, which is a total of four loaves, because each type he took one. Like it says in Vayikra, v'hikrav mimeno echad mikol carbon truma l'Hashem, that you should bring near one of each carbon as an elevation to Hashem. And there was four types of karbanos, meaning four types of breads. So he got one of each type, which was 1/10. Now, moreover, the pasuk says over there that you have to give him echad, one, which is shleitel paris. It can't be broken, it has to be a whole one. When the pasuk continues, says mikol carbon, from each carbon, should you call a karbanis, that all the karbanis, meaning all the different types of breads, should be shavish, should be equal, that each one should have 10 breads. Meaning, shalayitol, so that he shouldn't take the truma, mi karban al chaveri, from one type on the other type. Because if let's say you made 5 from this one, and from this one 15, you wouldn't be able to take from one on the other. So therefore you have to make sure each one has 10, that he takes one of each type, to have a total of 4 breads. Now the pasuk says, "La koyin hazarik is dam shlam lo yeh." To the koyin who throws the blood of the shlam, which is what a taida is for him, he gets it. So as we said, he's the one that gets one of each type of breads. V'hashar nechal abalim, and the other 9 of each type of breads are eaten by the owners. Continuing expounding this pasuk of our Mishnah, so Tanabam within the brayso, it says v'hikrav mimenu, that he should bring near from it, from these breads. What does that mean? It means min hamachubur. It means to say that they should be connected. All the bread should be in one vessel for the koyin to take truma from it. Moreover, the pasuk said, as you said in the Mishnah, echad, you have to bring near that one of them is from each one is given truma l'Hashem. Shalitl paris, like we said, you shouldn't take it; it shouldn't be broken. Mikol carbon, from each carbon, each type. Shiyu kol carbon the shabbos, like we said in the Mishnah, that each carbon should be the same. Shalitl mena carbon al chaveh, because you can't take from one type and the other one. Therefore, each one has to have 10, that he can take 1/10 from each type separately. When it says you should bring your truma l'Hashem, so says the Braisa, any dam mikamahi. I don't know from how many breads is he taking 1/10. It could be 20 and he takes 2. What's 1/10? So, hareini done. So I'll learn as follows. Namakan truma, it says over here that by the lachmei taida you give truma. But then by trumas meiser truma. By trumas meiser, which is by the levim, when they have to give a tithe of their tithe, the pasuk says, v'hare meiser mimenu trumas hashem l'kayin. The levi gives him his tithe, his tenth, he gives a truma to the kayin. Now, malahal nechmasar, just like over there, the trumas meiser is 1/10 of what Levi has, he gives to the kain. So, afkan echad masar, here also, where it says the same word, truma, but lachmei taida, that means 1/10. So, therefore, we know that there's 10 breads that we're giving him one, as the pasuk says. And that says, the braisa, eklach lederzu, maybe go a different way, and say it comes out to a different measurement. Because nemakan truma, yeah, it says over here truma, venema bikurum truma. The pasuk calls bikurum truma. So we'll learn from there. Malahal na'in l'shir, just like by Bikurim, the first of the 7 fruits of Yerushalayim, of Eretz Yisrael, has no specific measurement that you have to bring up to the Kohen and the Beis HaMikdash. Afkan na'in l'shir also doesn't have a measurement. It doesn't have to be 10 breads. To have that, you'll give him 1 out of 10. On that says the Braisa, no, nir l'midayim. So let's see which one is it more comparable, to Trumas Meiser or to Bikurim. Done in Truma, Shein Acharei Truma, should we learn out a Truma that doesn't have another Truma coming after it, meaning by the Lachmei Taida, when you give the 1 out of the 10 breads to the Kayan, there's no other Truma that you have to do. Mi Truma, Shein Acharei Truma, from another Truma that doesn't have any Truma after it by Trumas Meister. Once the Levi gives him his tithe, a tithe to the Kayan, he's done. Va'al Yechich Bikurim, and therefore you should learn out from Trumas Meister, and don't prove from Bikurim, Sheesh Acharei Truma, where there you have a subsequent Truma, because after Bikurim is brought from this person's first fruits that just ripened, when he's ultimately finishing up the production of reaping the grain, he has to separate Trumas and Meisters. So you shouldn't learn out from Bikurim. Says the Braisa, no, maybe learn a different direction. Don and Truma Necheles B'Makom Kaddish. We should learn out the halacha of Lachmei Taida, which has to be eaten in the holy place, from another truma that has to be eaten in holy place, because both the breads of the Taida and Bikurim are only allowed to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Like the pasuk says, Lisuch Alecha B'Shecha, you can't eat it in your own towns. V'nidvasecha V'trumas Yedecha, your trumas Yedecha, which refers to Bikurim, and the Lachmei Taida, have to be eaten, like other shlamim, in Yerushalayim. V'al Techich Trumas Meiser, and never don't learn out from Trumas Meiser, Shenechaz B'chamakim, which the kohen can eat wherever he is. So therefore, it's not clear which one to learn it out from. So even though it says Truma, as we thought you'd learn it out from Trumas Meiser, from there, that's not a proof, because maybe learn from Bikurim. So therefore it says, the Braisa Tamalemam, we learn it from somewhere else. It says by the Taida, the Lachmei Taida, as we brought the Pasuk, Mimenu, from it, Truma Lashem, a Truma to Hashem. Now, Ksuv b'Trumas Ma'aser says also b'Trumas Ma'aser, mimenu Truma from itruma. Oh, like Gzeres Shava, to take Gzeres Shava. Here it says mimenu Trumas Lashem, there it says mimenu Truma Lashem, to say the same idea, which is that it should be 1 out of 10, so obviously that there's 10 loaves of bread, and you're giving 1 out of that 10 to the kohen. So says the Brice, Lamad la Truma Shehi Echad Masar. So we know. We know that the Truma of the Lachmei Toide is 1 out of 10. Avla any idea mikam hi chala. But I don't know from how much flour you're making the loaves of the Chametz loaves, which are 10 out of the 40 of the Lachmei Toide. So I know there's 10 loaves, but how much flour is being used for those loaves? Says the Brice, already done. So I'll learn as follows. Nemakan Lachem, it says over here that it's bread, the word Lachem, and Nemalaham Rishteha Lachem Lachem. By the two breads of Shavuot, it also says the same word Lachem. Malahal nisar on lachala, just like over there. Each chala, each loaf was one nisar on the flour. Safkan nisar on lachala. Here also, each chala is one nisar. That says the Brayas, like klachal derzu. Maybe learn it from a different place. Nemakan lechem, it says over here by the toidel lechem, but nema lechem apanim lechem. It says by the 12 showbreads, also the word lechem. So I'll tell you, malahal and shnei esrainis, just like over there, each loaf of bread was two esrainis. Afkan shnei esrainis, maybe also over here, each loaf of the lachme toidel is not one nisar, but two esrainis. Says the Rishon, let's see which one is it more comparable to. Dan in mincha ba chametz emazevach. Let's learn out something that its flour offering is brought chametz leavened with the carbon, which is lach meitayda. Mi mincha ba chametz emazevach from another flour offering that A is brought chametz with a carbon, which is a shtei lechem that's brought with a kivsa etzeres, and also it comes from chametz. Vayichich lechem apanim, and don't prove it from the lechem apanim to say that it's tourist rainim. She'ein the bo chametz emazevach. First of all, it doesn't come with an animal sacrifice, and also it's not brought as chametz; it's brought matzah. And that says the Brice, no, eklach l'derech zu, maybe go a different way. Dan in mincha bo me'aretz v'chutz la'aretz. Let's learn out a flour offering that could be brought from grain from Eretz Yisrael or from out of Eretz Yisrael, min ha'chadosh, min ha'yashan grain, from the new grain, from the old grain, which is the case by the lachmei taida. Mi mincha bo me'aretz v'chutz la'aretz, min ha'chadosh, min ha'yashan, from a different flour offering, which could be brought from the grain in Eretz Yisrael and out of Eretz Yisrael, from the new grain, from the old grain, which is the case by the lechem apanim. V'ayichichu shtei lechem. And don't prove from the two breads of Shavuos, She'ein bois elam al-chadosh min ha'aretz, where that's limited to the new grain and has to come from Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we cannot learn it out specifically where it says the word lechem from to tell us that it's going to be one isaron, because maybe you learn that from the lechem aponim. So therefore, tam alem, that's what it says. We learn that as follows. It says by the shtei ha'lechem by Shavuos, it says mimay shvei seichem tviu lechem tenufa, from your dwelling places, you should bring this elevated bread. How many? Shtayim, two breads. Says the Braisa, she'in tam olemet taviyu, there's really nothing that the Pasuk is teaching when it's saying that you should bring it. Because earlier the Pasuk already said, v'hikravtim min chadosh, that you should bring this new flour offering. So it could have just said, mimesh v'seichem lechem tenufa. Why say the word taviyu? Ma tam olemet taviyu, what is the word taviyu you should bring it teaching us? It's teaching us, she'koma she'ata mevi mimakam achar, that whatever you bring from elsewhere, that's similar to this, to the shtei ha'lechem that is also brought chametz, which we're talking about now, those chametz loaves of the lachmei toide, harehu kaze, that it's just like this, that it should be an isaron for every loaf, which as the Braisa says, ma'alahal nisaron l'chala, just like over there by the shtei ha'lechem, there's an isaron for every loaf, afkan isaron l'chala, so over here, it's an isaron of flour for every loaf. Now, however, the Braisa asks and said, well, if that's the case that you're expounding it this way, then maybe you should take it further and say, Malan, just like over there by the Shtei HaLechem. Shnei Yisroinis, there's only a sum total of two Yisroinis, because there's two loaves, and each one is a Yisroin. So there's a sum total of just two Yisroinis, and not more than that. So maybe you should say, the Nafkan, also over here by the Chametz loaves of the Taida, that there's only Shnei Yisroinis, that there's only going to be two Yisroinis for the 10 loaves, and not that you should have each one Yisroin, but rather, the total of them should be the same as the Shtei HaLechem, which only allows you two Yisroinis for the total of all of them. And that says the Braisa. No, Tam Olam, it says by the Shtei HaLechem, Tiyena, that it should be. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to explain what do you see from this word Tiyena, is that it says it with two Yuds, Tiyena, which we expound, it could have said with one Yud. So one of the Yuds are extra to teach that it's telling us regarding the bread. And as the Gemara will explain, it's a reference to the Lachmei Toide. And the reason why it's on the Lachmei Toide, not on the Shtei HaLechem, that the context of the Pasuk is talking about is because you can't say that the Yud is teaching you something regarding the Shtei HaLechem because the Pasuk explicitly says that the two loaves are only Shnei Esrainim. So rather, the extra Yud is going to be teaching that no, it's going to be 10 Esrainis for the 10 breads because what we are comparing is that each loaf is a Yisrain, but not the total is going to be two Esrainim like it has by the Shtei HaLechem. So it says the Brisa fine, Lamadnu Asar Lochamet. So we learned at a source that there's going to be the 10 breads, and each bread is going to be Nisarin for the 10 loaves of chametz that there are from the Lachmei Taida. But, and that's because we're learning out regarding the chametz, we're learning out from the Shtei HaLechem. But Asar Lamatzah Minayin, how do we know that there's going to be 10 loaves of the matzah, which there's actually three types? How do we know over there that each matzah type is going to have 10 loaves of bread? Says the Brisa, Tam Aleimer, the Pasuk teaches, Al Chalos Lechem Chametz. Meaning, because earlier the Pasuk said, V'hikr Val Zevach HaTei Dechalos Matzah. So it tells you that you're going to bring loaves that are leavened, that are chametzik. And then afterwards it says, Al Chalos Lechem Chametz. And on these leavened ones, you'll also have Al Chalos Lechem Chametz, meaning you're going to have, actually, no, the Pasuk had said that you're going to bring Zevach HaTei Dechalos Matzahs, that you're going to have the matzah loaves. And it says this, that these are Al Chalos Lechem Chametz in addition to the chametzik ones. So what the Pasuk is equating is telling you, Neged Chametz Havei Matzah, in correlation to the amount that you have for the leavened ones, that's how you bring the matzah ones. So Nimtzu comes out the following measurements. If we're having the same amount of the matzah for the Chametz, Nimtzu Estri Mestrainis Lachmei Taida, you have 20 Estrainis of the breads of the Taida. How so? Because we brought a source that tells us Asar L'Chametz. You have 10 Estrainis for the leavened ones, because we said there's 10, and we brought a proof that each one is going to be Asar. Now, but now that same equivalent for the amount of flour is teaching us Vasar L'Matzah, that you can have 10 Estrainim for the 30 matzah ones, as the Brisa continues and says, okay, so Yochel Asar Sheba Matzah LaYu Kol Elma Min Echad. So you would think, if you just had this part of the Pasuk so far, that the 10 of the matzah should only be from one type, just like the 10 of the chametz are one type. Tamalem, that's what the Pasuk teaches. No, it says, in Mal Taida Yakriven, if you're going to bring a carbon Taida, so Behikr Vazavach Taida that you're going to bring with the carbon Taida, Chalais Matzis Belulis Bashemen, that's one type, the loaves that are unleavened that are mixed with oil, Vurikiki Matzis Meshuch Bashemen, then you have the wafer types of the matzah which are smeared with oil, and then you have the third type, Serlis Merbechis Begaimer, you have the flour which is scalded in hot water, so the Pasuk says three different types. So, etc. So Nimtzu comes out, since we're only going to have 10 Esrayim of flour, which is the same as the Chametz, so you're going to have it each type of the 10, each type has 10 breads, that each type is going to have only 3 and a third Esrayim for each type, which therefore comes out, that actually by the matzah types, only 3 chalas, 3 loaves, will have a total of 1 Esrayim. In contrast to the chametz, because that ratio is 3 to 1, that there it's going to have for each challah an isar. Says the Brisa, and Nimtzu comes out the lachmei toidar abam, that it comes at the total of all the breads of the toidar are 40, and noitel mehen arba benoitel lekain, and 4 of them are taken and given to the kain b'ashan nacham lebailam, and the rest are eaten by the owners. Now the Gemara goes back and qualifies a lot of the different statements mentioned in this Brisa, which elaborated and elucidated the halachas of our Mishnah regarding the laws of the Lachmei Taida. So Amamar, the time the Brisa had said that it says in the Pasuk, Behikriv Mimenu, that you should bring near from these 10 loaves of the bread, as the Pasuk continues to say, that you should give one of those Lashem, which means to give it to the Kain. Said the Brisa, what does it mean, Behikriv Mimenu, from it? As in the singular, that they shall all be all attached, they shall all be connected in that same vessel, and then you take one of that and give it to the kain. That is the Gemara, but then if that's the case, we have a similar pasuk in the Yikra that says, Veskol chel b'yar mimenu. Same idea, that all its fats, you should elevate from it, meaning that the chalavim, the fats of a carbon, is then burnt on the mizbeach. So what type of attached do you have over there? Now, because the assumption of the questioner is at this point is that generally you cut up the meat and then you take the sacrificial pots and you burn the mizbech. So it's not attached to anything. But doesn't it say the same thing of mimenu as if it's like attached, the way you're saying over here by the Lachmei Taida? Says the Gemara, no, because Rav Chizda Amar Avimi. That yes, the Amar Rav Chizda Amar Avimi, he says, the halacha is, shalo yinatach baser kain shnit lemurim. You're not supposed to cut up the meat or the carbon before you take the sacrificial parts, meaning it has to be connected to the meat when you take in the emurim, and therefore, yes, mimenu means menamachubri there too. Continues the Gemara, Amamar. The Tana the Brisa had said that Nemerkan Truma, it says over here by the Lachmei Taida that you should take off a Truma, an elevation. Venema Betrumas Maisa Truma, and it says Betrumas Maisa Truma, so we learn that just like over there it's 1/10, so to over here it's 1/10, which is 1 out of 10 loaves. On that is the Gemara, why did the Brisa assume that? V'neilif mitrumas Midyan. Why don't you learn now, by the spoils of Midyan in the Midbar, the Jewish people, it also says that they took a truma, meaning that 1 out of every 500 souls that they had taken, they give that Lashem too. So maybe that actually the halacha by the Lach Meitedah should be one out of 500, not one out of 10. Says the Gemara, no. Done the Truma Hanahegis Ladaris, we learn that something that applies to future generations, which are the laws of the Lach Meitedah, Mitruma Hanahegis Ladaris from another Truma that applies to future generations, which is Truma's Meiser, Valtechich Truma's Midyan, we're not going to prove from the Truma by Midyan, She'en Hanahegis Ladaris, which is a one time event in history, we're not going to learn the halachas of Truma from there. So the Gemara says, but v'nelef mitrumas chala, learn not the halacha that there's an elevation that says truma by chala, which is for generations, which is one out of every 24 or 48, and not one out of every 10. So the Gemara, no, because tanad rebi shmol is torn the b'risa of shib rebi shmol, dan and davar shenema by mimenu trumas la'ashem. We learn that something, and the gear series has changed a little bit, from something where it says that you should take out a truma la'ashem, mi davar shenema by mimenu truma sa'ashem. That excludes the truma of chala. It doesn't say over it mimenu truma l'Hashem. Meaning, it doesn't say the word mimenu. Yeah, it says bechal the word truma. But in contrast, Allah meitoid and the truma's meiser. Not only does it say truma, it also says the word mimenu, and therefore that's why the Brisa was saying we learn that from truma's meiser and not even from the halach of chala, which is only 1/24th or 1/48th, depending on who's making the dough. Now, by Rav had the following question. Now that we saw in the Braisa, that we learned that the halacha of Lach Meitedah, how much we give to the Kain from Trumas Meiser. So I asked the following question, Trumas Lach Meitedah, these elevated breads of the Karban Teidah, which that one is given to the Kain. Chayav Nalein Misa, if some non-Kain deliberately eats from that, is he going to be liable for the death penalty? Or the Chaymish, if let's say, is he liable for the principal and the fifth if this non-Kain eats it by mistake, which is the halacha as it applies by Trumas Meiser? Or would we say that no, there wouldn't be a liability if one does it deliberately for death, and if he does it by mistake for the extra fifth besides the principal to pay back to the Kain? What's the question? So the Gemara explains. Do we say, Kiven de Iskish le Trumas Meiser? We brought in the Braisa that is a hekish, there's a comparison between the laws of the Lach Meitedah that are given to the Kain, which is called Truma, which would learn from Trumas Meiser. So do we say Trumas Meiser dummy? That literally has the same halacha as Trumas Meiser, which is bona fide Truma, which has the liability of Misa and Chaimish if it's done by Meiser or B'Shagig. Like Dilmore, maybe no, because the Torah excludes, when it talks about the Truma of the grain, which is what's called the classic Truma and Trumas Meiser, it says, Omesu Vay, that he's going to die because this non-kain desecrated by deliberately eating from it. So we learn by here in it, it's an exclusionary terminology, would you be chayv misa, but not by another truma, not by the truma of the lechem of the taida. And so too, it says v'chamishisai, it says that the es asher chotem in hakodesh shesham, whoever by mistake sins from the holy things, he's going to have to pay back. V'chamishisai yesev levin says, and he has to even add on a fifth. Now, chamishisai, its fifth, sounds like it's saying, here you have to add on a fifth. But a different truma, you don't add on a fifth. So miyat rachmana. So maybe the Torah is excluding and saying only the regular truma or trumas ma'is of grain are yuchayiv misav chaymish, but not the truma, even though we compare the halachas in this context of 1 out of 10, that would not apply to the lach meitedah that is given to the kohen. Maybe there you wouldn't have that halacha. And so too, based on this question, the Gemara asks, midamas? Would it create a mixture like when regular truma that falls into chulin, that you have to have a ratio of 100 chulin to one of the truma to go ahead and nullify and let a non-kohen eat from it? Or would you say that applies to the lachmei taidah that's given to the kohen too, because we don't find by dimua, by the mixture, any exclusionary terminology, and therefore it would be included? Or would it not create dimua? Says the Gemara, take a look, it's not clear. How far does this comparison go from the truma of the lachem of the taida to the truma that is by trumas meiser, that if it has those same halachas? Now, Amamar, the Gemara continues explaining the Tanda Braisa said, Tamalim tiyena. So how do we know that there's the 10 breads are going to have 10 israinas that you're not going to have for a total of 2 israinas like you have by the shtei halachim is going to be for the sum total of all the 10 breads? No, you'll have each one, we're learning it from the shtei halachim as each bread over there has a israin, so too over here. So we learn it from tiyena. So says the Gemara, my Talmudah, where do you learn over here from the word tiyena that it should be that you'll have 10 israinas for the 10 breads of the lach meitedah? So as the Gemara continues the top of Ayin Chasam and Aleph, Amar Vizchel Bar Avdimi, he says Tiyana Ksib. It says Tiyana with 2 yuds. It could have said it with just 1 yud. Is it extra yud to say that it's going to be 10? 10 Esrainis for the 10 breads. As we explained in the previous discussion, that and we don't need it, and it can't be teaching regarding Shtei Lechem, so that's why it's teaching regarding the context of the Lach Meitedah.
And on that as the Gemara, Ba'ema Asar Kefizi. How do you know it's 10 Esrainis? Maybe it's 10 Kefizi, which is a half of a Kav. So maybe it's 10 half a Kav, not 10 Esrainim. So Rabbi says, no, but Esrainis, Dibra Kasim. The Torah there is talking about Esrainis. Because what's the context over there in the Parsha? We're learning, which the extra Yud and Tien is what we're learning out this halacha from. It's in the Parsha Shtei Halechem, where it says that there's Shtayim, two breads, that are Shnei Esrainim, for a total of two Esrainim. So it's talking about Esrainis. So when we're including something in the number of 10, it's going to be Esrainis. So on that, the Brisa had said, Lamanu Asar L'chametz. We learn out 10 Esrainis for the Chametz breads. Asar L'matzah, and then how do you know that it's 10 Esrainis for the matzah ones, which actually is 30 loaves. Tamalei ma'al chalis lechem chametz, because it says, when it's talking about the matzah types that you need to have, al chalis lechem matzah, lechem chametz, in additional to the 10, the leavened ones, which tells you, connected chametz, havi matzah, in the same amount of the leavened one, that's how much Israelis have to bring for the unleavened ones. However, on this part of the Baraisa, the Gemara asks, can you really have something that in itself is learned out from a hekesh? Because as the Brayis had previously said, how do we know the 10 chametz lobes of the Taidah are going to have each one in the Sarin? That's going to be 1 out of 10. We know it from the Shtei Halechem. So now it's going to be Chayzim Malamed. It's going to go ahead now and teach regarding the matzah lobes, behekesh with a hekesh itself. But this is what the Gemara said in Zvach Neizmu Kaiman, that although in the whole Tari you could learn out one thing from something else that's learned from somewhere else, the exception is Kachim, that you can't learn out a Hekesh from something that itself is learned from a Hekesh. So how could you learn out that the 30 matzah loaves are a 10 Esrainis because you know it from the 10 Chametz loaves, which are 10 Esrainis, when the Chametz ones itself you only know from a Hekesh to the Shtei Halachim? And you can't learn out a Hekesh from a Hekesh in the laws of Kachim. Says the Gemara, no. Hey, menu bedover achahu. This is not pure hekesh from a hekesh. This is a hekesh from something that is learned out from its own context and from something else. In other words, in this Gemara, what it means to say is that we're talking about something that applies to what's written in itself together with something else that's learning out from, which is the halacha that the chametz loaves are 10 esrainis. Why? Because it already says by the chametz loaves themselves that there are 10 loaves, as the Gemara previously taught. We know that when it says truma, it means 1 out of every 10. So we know that there's 10 loaves. Now, so therefore, what are we learning from the Shtei Halechem? That each loaf is going to be in the Sarin, which makes a total of 10 Esrainis. But that law of 10 Esrainis is learned out from a combination of it itself and with the Shtei Halechem to say that it from itself is learning out that there's 10 loaves, and then it's saying that each loaf is in the Sarin. But the halacha we're learning out to the matzah is the 10 Esrainis, which is a combination of the two of them. So therefore, v'chol emena b'davar acha lo yav hekesh. When you have something that's learned out from its own context in combination with some other context, that's not a hekesh. Therefore, you could go ahead and learn it now regarding the matzah that it's going to be 10 Esrainis. Because what would be considered pure hekesh? That'd be, for example, if it didn't say in the context of the chametz lobe that you need to have 10 lobes. And it would say that by the Shtei Halechem it would be 10 Esrainis, and then you would learn out one from the other from a Hekesh. That would be a bona fide Hekesh. Then you're right, you wouldn't be able to learn out the Matzah from the Chametz. But on this answer, the Gemara asks, Hanich Lamandam Alev Hekesh. That's only good according to the opinion who holds that when it's Hemena B'Dav Ach, it's not considered a Hekesh. Elamandam Alev Hekesh, but according to the one which this is the Machlik, he holds it is a Hekesh. So Michael, what are you going to say? How can you learn out the Matzah from the Chametz if the Chametz is learned out from the Shtei Halechem, which even though it's Hemena B'Dav Ach, is considered a Hekesh? Says the Gemara, no, taviyu, this that we had said, the extra word taviyu, which we said is unnecessary in the Braisa, which the Braisa says, you're right, that's what's coming to teach her regarding the Taida, because it's not teaching anything regarding the Shtei Halechem, it's ribuyuhu. It's not a hekesh, it's an inclusionary terminology. So we're not learning out the chametz breads of the Taida from the Shtei Halechem, rather, it's the chametz loaves of the Taida itself that is telling you that you have an isarin for every loaf. Because the word Taviyu, which is written by the Shtei Halechem, as we said, is not necessary for Shtei Halechem. It's inclusionary terminology, including the Lachmei Taida, for whatever it says over there in that Pasuk. What does it say over there in that Pasuk? It says, because in the Shtei Halechem, that's what it is, it's two Esrainim, so each loaf of bread is telling you this is a Nisarin. So, but Taviyu is not teaching it to you for the Shtei Halechem, because that we already know. So it's teaching you for the Lachmei Taida, that a Chametz, it's as if it says explicitly the Halacha in the context of the chametz breads by the Taida, and it's not being learned out from a hekesh. What would be considered a hekesh, for example, if let's say it didn't say in that pasuk taviyu isarin lechala, and it would have written by the Shtei Halechem itself, and then we would have learned out a Taida from a hekesh from Shtei Halechem, that would be considered a hekesh. Or another interpretation, and as we're saying in the Gemara, Taviyu is Ribuyuhu, which again, that answered the question. It's not a Hekesh, so it's not Hekesh min a Hekesh. It's just a Ribuy, and a Ribuy is like it's written by itself, and you can learn out to the Matzah. Another interpretation is that it sounds like when it says Taviyu, when it says Ribuyuhu, it doesn't mean that it's a Ribuy, not a Hekesh. What this interpretation, the second interpretation in Rashi, what it means to say is, it's a Ribuy, meaning that there's a lot should be brought. Meaning that every loaf should be a fully Isarin. And the Yud of Tiena is saying, okay, so each one is going to have an Isarin, but how many loaves? The Yud tells you 10 loaves. So that is by the context of the Pasuk itself of Taida, like we said, because you don't need Tiena for the Shteha Lechem, so therefore it's not a Hekesh. But not that because Ribuya means it's a Ribuy, not a Hekesh. Ribuya means to say you should have a lot. A lot of Isarin, a lot of flour in each loaf, which is Isarin. And the Yud tells you there's 10 loaves. But it's all in the context of the lachmi toid of the chametz, and we're not learning it out from the shteha lechem, and therefore you could learn out as a hekesh to the matzah, because it's not a hekesh min a hekesh according to all opinions.